Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rawr! Yeah, we're growling today, Elijah. I love the Harry Potter series of books. One of my favorite chapters comes right in the middle of the series, right at the end of one of the books, and it's a chapter called The Parting of the Ways. And in this chapter, what you have is you have all these main characters, and they're powerful characters, and they're at odds with each other because evil has been exposed and it's been brought into light, but not everyone wants to believe that this is true. And so you have this discussion where they try to get people to understand that evil is here, we need to do something about it. But one of the main characters in the book decides that no, evil can't be here anymore. This can't be the case. We're going to go on with life as normal because life as normal is easier. Because it is far harder to face the fact that evil is present, that things are there that need to be fought. And so the two parties have a parting of ways. One goes back to life as normal. The rest get down to the work of fighting evil as it is there. And it is hard, difficult work that they go to. In this gospel reading, we have, in a way, a parting of the ways. In chapter 8, we have the very first mention of Christ and his suffering. That he is going to suffer, that he is going to be rejected, that he is going to be killed, and that he is going to be raised to life again. But the disciples don't hear that last part. All they hear is that this Jesus that they've been following is going to die, and they don't like it. And then Jesus mentions for the first time in the Gospel of Mark the cross. But it's not his cross that he mentions. The cross he mentions is your cross. Your cross. He says to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Here we have the parting of ways, because being a follower of Christ is a parting of ways. There is more to taking up your cross and following Christ than carrying around a couple beams of wood. It's a hard call. It's not exactly an inspiring speech, actually, by Jesus. It's not the kind of thing you say to people if you want people to join your cause. It's not something that a political party would go and say at a convention and expect a lot of people to not only donate money, but to jump on board. You don't say, follow me, deny yourself, take up a cross, which is the emblem of suffering, and let's get to work. That is not something people like to do. But in this upside down of economy that is the way God likes to work in this world, it is what he expects and what he calls his followers to do. To deny yourself, take up your cross, and go where Christ goes. So let's look this morning at what it means to take up your cross. And when I think of this phrase, I think it is defined in three ways. It means three different things. The first thing that it means to take up your cross and to follow Christ is to suffer. And this, for us, comes through in how we engage with those things that would tempt us. To take up your cross and follow Christ means to suffer through temptations. We talked about this a little bit more this morning in adult Bible study, and a good example I like to use of this is of kids in high school. Kids in high school have all sorts of temptations that come at them. And a lot of this comes from friends, people that they want to be around, but more often than not, our friends are those exact things that we need to sometimes sever ties with because they do not help us to follow Jesus. And oftentimes the people that we like to be around the most are the ones who introduce temptation into our lives the most severely. So to take up your cross at some times means to suffer through temptation, and to suffer through temptation means to put away your friends, to put away those things that would cause you to fall into sin. And the suffering might come by way of being lonely because you don't have any place to go on Friday night because your friends are going places where you cannot go. Suffering through temptation is not fun. It's not easy. It is called suffering for a reason. Temptations are temptations because they are things we want to do, but they are not what God desires of us, and so we suffer through them. This is one of the first things I think of when I think of what it means to take up your cross. It means to suffer through temptations because you don't want to give in to what God wants you not to do. The second thing I think of when I think of taking up your cross is part of this, the first part of this thing that Jesus says, which is to deny yourselves. To deny yourself and to take up your cross often means to deny the charms of this world, the pleasures of this world, because so often they are things that will lead us away from Christ. They might not be things that cause us to sin directly. They might not in themselves even be evil. They might be good things. But if they would lead us away from Christ, we need to cut them off. We need to take up our cross and deny ourselves and go the way that Jesus goes. This means, as verses 36 and 37 say, for what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? To deny yourself is to deny some of the things of this world. It's to deny maybe popularity. Sometimes it's to deny worldly goods. Maybe it's even to deny achievement. Or the good pleasures of life. If these things would lead us away from God's will and from doing the things that God wants us to do, we are to deny them. We are to put them aside. This goes back to our gospel last week, Wednesday, or 2 weeks ago, Wednesday, where I think of that passage where the rich man wants to come and follow Jesus, and Jesus asks him, well, have you obeyed the commands? And the man says, yes, I've obeyed all the commands. I have not murdered. I've not committed adultery. I've done all the things that the commands of God tell me to do. But then Jesus says, okay, this one thing I do ask of you too. Go sell all your possessions. Give it to the poor. Come back and follow me. And this is too much for the man because those possessions, those are the things that he loves most. And in this call that Jesus has specifically for this man, he's not ready to take up that cross and follow Christ. He is too comfortable in the charms of the world. Taking up your cross, denying yourself, means suffering through temptations so that you do not sin. It means denying also the charms of this world should they cause us to walk away from Christ. The third thing I think of when I think of bearing your cross and following Christ, denying yourself, is doing the good of the gospel even at the risk of personal harm. What might this look like? You can think of your extreme examples throughout the world where people are missionaries in hostile areas, where they've been called by God to go to places where they know they are in danger, and they go and do this work of God at personal, physical risk, yet they go. But it doesn't have to look as dramatic as that. It might be, again, if you're in high school, it might be going and sitting with the kid who isn't quite as popular as everyone else, being a friend to the person who is kind of the least of us, even though others might make fun of you for doing that. You might lose your popularity for sitting with this particular kid, but it is the gospel. You are embodying Jesus for this person. Doing the good of the gospel, even at the risk of personal harm, is bearing your cross. It is denying what looks like it should be good for you for the sake of what God has for us. What Christ calls us to is not an easy life. Bearing the cross is not an easy thing. I've been reading a book by one of my former professors, a little English man named John Goldengay, who is a professor of Old Testament theology at Fuller. And for most of Professor Goldengay's married life, his wife has suffered with MS. And for most of their married life, she has been very disabled to a point where he's had to push her around on a wheelchair, to feed her food, to help change her clothes. He has been her single and only caretaker through most of her life, to a point now where she's passed away now, but at the end of her life, she was not even able to speak. She could barely swallow on her own, yet Professor Goldengay had her in his house the entire time. It was a suffering that he went through. For him, it was a cross to bear because it was taking care of someone who couldn't really love him back anymore. It meant sacrificing a lot of the things that he wanted to do, whether it was going to the beaches of California or going to concerts. He loved going to concerts of all sorts of bands throughout the world, but he couldn't do it anymore because he had to take care of his wife. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, has many different looks to it, but it is never an easy look. But God has many promises for his disciples. He has many comforts for his disciples, those who deny themselves and take up their cross. First among them is that God promises to be with us through our suffering, through our crosses, through the duration of our sufferings. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. The Lord is with us in our crosses. And not only is God with us in our sufferings, but he is with us by the very fact that he himself also suffered for us. He does not ask us to do something that he was not willing to do first. His own cross was not just a wooden beam, it was the suffering, the rejection, the beatings, the whippings, the mockery. It was every bit of it. Christ endured his own cross for the sake of the people whom God called him to minister to. And for those who bear their cross, who deny themselves, there is a promise at the end of this passage. When we think of what the opposite of what Christ says, those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed But the opposite is true too. That those who bear their cross, deny themselves, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Christ is not ashamed of you. In fact, he welcomes you. He proudly stands before the Father and say, this person who I died for, who I restored to life, who I forgave all their sins, and now follows me, I am proud of this person because they bore their cross and they denied themselves. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we give you thanks for your gospel. We thank you first and foremost for the suffering, the rejection, the death that you went to the cross for us, that you bore for us, that we might be forgiven and restored and reconciled to you. Help us, O Lord, though, to follow you, to follow your call to take up our own cross, to deny ourselves, to live the life that you have desire for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.